Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest, if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift.
Take my life.
Lesson 158, Preparations for Giving. In our last lesson, we learned that poor Christians can show themselves very rich when they reflect the sacrificial giving of our Lord Jesus. Paul continues to talk to the Corinthians in this chapter about making the necessary preparations for their giving. Paul wanted to be sure that a visit to Corinth would not find his Christian friends unprepared to give according to their promise, and therefore sends his brothers ahead of time to prepare the gift. Paul knew their willingness to give, and thought it even a bit unnecessary to send this reminder to them. Paul had even boasted to other churches about the generosity of the Corinthians. Some other churches had been stirred up to also give because of the example of the Corinthians. However, this giving by the Corinthians was still only a promise and not yet fulfilled. Paul therefore sends some brethren to Corinth ahead of himself. He imagines what might happen if he should arrive there with some Macedonian brethren who had heard Paul's boast about the Corinthians' generous heart for giving. If they found the Corinthians scrambling to put together their gift, Paul's boasting would prove false, since the Corinthians failed to organize themselves. It is often the case that Christians or churches have wanted to contribute to a good cause and even agreed to send money, but because of a lack of due diligence, no one actually organizes the giving. The work of the Lord and our giving to support God's work should be handled with the greatest of care, for this is the means the Lord uses to bring mutual blessing among His people. We could miss out on His desired blessing for us by being slothful or negligent to carry out what He directed our hearts to do. Sometimes, in the excitement of the moment, we sense the Lord directing us to support someone or something. But because of our spiritual dullness, we quickly forget our spiritual commitments and leave them unattended. Paul was careful in handling this manner of giving, for he understands the potential for spiritual good, and he also sees the potential for the Corinthians to be ashamed if they are not prepared. In writing to them ahead of time, he desires that their giving was from their sincere generosity and not because of a grudging obligation. God does not need or want our money when we give it reluctantly. God loves cheerful giving, that is, giving that brings joy to the giver and receiver alike. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. This means that the one who gives will be happier than the one who receives. Paul also feels compelled to teach his friends at Corinth another important principle of giving. He speaks about farming and says that if a man sows sparingly, he will also reap sparingly. But if he sows bountifully, he will also reap bountifully. Clearly, the more seed that the farmer plants, the greater his crop potentially will be. The more generous a Christian is with his giving, the more he will reap spiritual rewards. Some might fear that when they give away their money and wealth, they may not have enough left for themselves. However, we should know that God, who loves a cheerful giver, is also able to supply all our needs and provide an abundance for every good work. If we really believe that God loved us and that He has power to provide all our needs, then we would not be worried about sharing with the needs of others. God will not let us down or leave us empty when we share His bounty and love with the needs of those around us. Another thing Paul says here is that each one should give as he purposes in his heart. This means that giving is an individual exercise and that everyone should pray about what they feel is an amount they can and are willing to give. No coercion or extortion should be used to force some to give what is beyond their ability or willingness to give. This is why it is so wrong for preachers to make public appeals for Christians to give. It must be the Lord directing hearts to give and not men. I have found that when the Lord directs hearts to give, the amount given is much greater than if appeals had been made. I think most people would rather give from their heart than to be made to feel some sense of obligation when giving. Having a collection box at the front and center of the church, where it makes a person feel obligated to go up and put something into the collection box because everyone else is a shameful way to coerce people to give. At one church I visited, I was preparing to put something into a collection, but was surprised when no collection bag or plate was passed around. When I asked later about this, they said they preferred to have a box at the back of the church for anyone to contribute as they felt led, so they did not pass around any plate, lest people felt obligated to give. I appreciated their godly and biblical approach, by giving people a chance to give if it was in their heart to do so, but also not making anyone feel any obligation to give. To add to his point, Paul quotes from the scriptures about how God disperses and gives to the poor. Recognizing that all that we have comes from the gracious hand of God causes Paul to pray that God would supply and multiply what the Corinthians had sown and increase the fruits of their righteousness. God will bless those who bless others, but we must be careful not to see this as an opportunity for cashing in. Some might think that if they give $100 to God, He will return $1,000 to them, as though God were a banker providing 1,000% interest to His customers. We should never give to get, or our hearts reveal our greed and love of money. The point we need to understand is that when we give with a sincere desire to help others in need, God will be sure to abundantly supply our own needs. By focusing on filling up the pockets of the poor, God is also pouring more into our pockets. However, the minute we lose our focus and start counting the money in our pockets is when the blessing will stop. Paul sees several benefits resulting from the Corinthians' liberality, namely that thanks and glory would ascend to God and the prayers and fellowship between those giving and those receiving would increase their love for each other. At this point, Paul cannot help but think of the greatest giver and gift of all and burst into praise, saying, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." It is when we see the immeasurable grace of God in giving us His Son that we learn the riches of God's goodness and generosity. This inspires and compels us, through that grace, to also share liberally. In fact, it would be rather selfish to receive so much from God and then not show gratitude by also sharing with the needs of others. I wonder if you have received God's indescribable gift by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. You will never have a greater gift offered to you than Jesus Christ. So why not reach out in faith and receive God's gift of eternal life today? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we considered again the subject of Christian giving, as Paul appealed to the Corinthian brothers and sisters to prepare their promised generosity so that when he came to see them, they would not look careless or unprepared. Someone might ask the question, how should the church collect and handle money? Today we learned about a collection of money that the Corinthians had promised to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Paul sent some trusted brothers ahead of him to Corinth to ensure that the gift would be ready when he came, and the Corinthians would not be caught off guard should Paul suddenly arrive and find them unprepared. Imagine if someone invited you for dinner along with a friend, and you were telling your friend what a wonderful cook and host he was going to meet at dinner, only to arrive and find that the meal had not been prepared. That would be embarrassing both for the host and for you, especially after you are praising the virtues of this host to your friend. This is what Paul was hoping to avoid with the Corinthians. He knew their willingness, but must have also been aware of their lack of organization. How then should a church be careful in gathering together money and handling it for the Lord's purposes? At the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul had given instructions to the church just how they could go about collection so that everything would be done with proper care. Each Lord's Day, that is Sunday, the believers were to add something to the collection, which they had put aside. Each one was to give according to how the Lord had prospered them. If they had plenty, they should give plenty, and if they had little, they should give little. We are not told exactly how the collection was carried out, but using some common sense and the directing of the Holy Spirit should lead us to avoid anything that dishonors the Lord. For instance, appealing to people to give by coercion is clearly not pleasing to the Lord. Methods that make people feel guilty or obligated to put into the collection are not honoring to the Lord. In some congregations, a bag is passed around, and those who wish to put into the bag can do so. I suppose even this method might make some feel pressure to give. As I mentioned in today's lesson, there was a church I once attended where there was no attempt at all to make a collection, but simply a box at the back for any that felt they wanted to give. This is perhaps the best biblical way to handle the offerings of the saints, for it provides a place where people can give without any sense of obligation. We should also consider how the church handles the funds that are collected. Each church should have trusted men, perhaps deacons or elders, who are responsible to count the offering and keep financial records. It is important for the church to know that godly men are not mishandling the money or stealing from the offerings. A regular financial report should be provided to the church members so they are aware of how collected money is being used. Although the leadership may make decisions about the use of offerings, the congregation should not be excluded from having some say in where and how church funds are used. This is why reports are important, for each one who contributes to the Lord's work needs to be aware and have confidence that the leadership is directing funds as by the Holy Spirit. This will give everyone confidence that they are engaged in God's work and not simply filling the pockets of greedy men. It might also be wise for the church to meet from time to time to discuss the finances and determine what areas of ministry should be supported and to what degree. Transparency in handling funds is not only important for the church membership, but also for those looking in from outside. The church has so often had a tarnished testimony through the misappropriation of money. And when such scandals reach the ears of the world, Satan will use this to bring great shame upon the church. Many people have been turned away from Christianity because of what they see happening in the church, and all the scandals associated with churches, ministries, and preachers who rob people for their own luxurious living. Christians will want to be sure that they maintain a good testimony. Money is a temptation and easily corrupts the heart. We must overcome this temptation and recognize that so much harm can be done through mishandling of money. Much good is done when Christians give and the money handled wisely for God's glory. A good question to ask ourselves when we prepare to put money into the collection is, how will this money be used, and is the church using money to bring glory to God or for the comfort and fame of men? Some church buildings are very expensive, as well as the preacher's suit and the sophisticated sound and video system. These seem perhaps nice additions for the glory and comfort of men, but ask yourself how many more souls come into the kingdom of God by such extravagance. Investment into Bibles, gospel tracts, or feeding the poor are good ways to use money that bring glory to God. Handling money takes much spiritual wisdom and should be entrusted to men who prove themselves faithful to the Lord and careful in their responsibilities. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the pool of God. He
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
To Jesus, I surrender all to Him.
Jesus.